Hi, everyone. Emma and I are continuing to take turns featuring the anti-racism resources that we are engaging with each month, because we believe that education leads to open hearts and free voices that are empowered to speak up and fight for change. Our hope is that you will find these resources useful for your education, and that they will also help you to cross the threshold into doing active anti-racism work so that we can create an equitable world together. We love you all. Black Lives Matter. Today, I wanted to share a book with you called Do Better: Spiritual Activism for Fighting and Healing from White Supremacy by Rachel Ricketts. Do Better is a revolutionary offering that addresses racial justice from a comprehensive, intersectional, and spirit-based perspective. This actionable guidebook illustrates how to engage in heart-centered and mindfulness-based practices that will help us to fight white supremacy from the inside out in our personal lives and communities alike. It is a loving and assertive call to do the deep and often uncomfortable inner work that precipitates much-needed external and global change. I highly recommend this book. The link is in the show notes.
Welcome to the Full Heart, Free Voice podcast. I'm Emma Veritas. I'm a writer and writing coach for women who want to start writing. And I'm a teacher for women who want to find their true selves again.
And I'm Caitlin Bosshart, a life coach for the multi-passionate at heart and wedding coach for couples planning non-traditional weddings. We read books that inspire you to live with a full heart
and a free voice. Hey everyone, before we get started with today's episode, we have a fun announcement for you. So Caitlin and I have recently opened up our affiliate shop. Our affiliate shop is a library of resources by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and you can find it at wildauthenticity.com/podcast shop. And when you go there, you'll find a list of links to Women Who Run With the Wolves, but also to all of Clarissa Pinkola Estes's audio classes that she's done through Sounds True. And when you buy these through these links, you support Clarissa Pinkola Estes, you support Sounds True, which is a very cool independent publisher, and you support our podcast because Sounds True has a very generous and amazing affiliate percentage that they give to us whenever you buy something. So it's this beautiful win-win-win, and it's also an opportunity for you to dive deeper into these educational resources. And so I just wanted to ask Caitlin today, Caitlin, what is one thing you have loved about listening to Clarissa Pinkola Estes's audio classes?
Well, I think it's, you know, when we are diving in so intimately with her work, and in a way it's like, I don't know about you, but there's been times I'm like, oh, it's Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Like there's a little bit of this, like, I don't know, she's like ethereal, I think in some ways in my mind and in this, but you know, there was something that was so nice is, you know, when I listen to her audios, I get to hear her voice and I get, there's like a sense of her heart and her intention that comes through in a way that, you know, now that I've listened to her voice and how she tells these stories, when I'm reading, I hear her, like her tone and how she kind of explains things. And it gives me a different level of understanding, I think, of the way that she is expressing her ideas and her thoughts and her wisdom. And so that's been one of the coolest things, that it's just like another level of kind of getting to know this author that we are engaging with so intimately and learning from.
And there's a special audio I want to tell you about today, which is the audio version of Women Who Run With the Wolves. First published 3 years before the print edition of Women Who Run With the Wolves made publishing history, this original audio edition quickly became an underground bestseller. For its insights into the inner life of women, it established Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes as one of the most important voices of our time in the fields of Jungian psychology, myth, and women's mysteries. And so a lot of people have asked me this question about this particular audio version, which is why I wanted to feature it here. So it is not the unabridged version of the book. It's actually not an audiobook at all. It is the original version of Women Who Run With the Wolves, which she first released as this audio recording. But if you are looking to listen to Clarissa Pinkola Estes, to listen to her talk about some of these stories, to review what you've learned about Women Who Run With the Wolves, this is a really great audio to get. So we invite you to go to wildauthenticity.com/podcast shop and click on our special link to purchase this recording. Thanks, everyone. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Life School episode for Chapter 15 of Women Who Run With the Wolves called Shadowing, Canto Hondo, The Deep Song. So in today's episode, Caitlin and I are going to focus on the very last page of the chapter where Dr. Estes offers the general wolf rules for life. And I'm going to read the quote of this, of what she says about the wolf rules and what the wolf rules are. And then Caitlin and I are going to go through each of these rules and just let you know about a time where we experienced transformation with a particular rule, and also offer a resource or practice or something that really helped us with this particular aspect of being a person in the world. And so this is what Dr. Estes says about the wolf rules. The ways and means of living with the instinctive nature are many, and the answers change as you change and as the world changes. So it cannot be said, do this and this in this particular order and all will be well. But over my lifetime, as I've met wolves, I have tried to puzzle out how they live, for the most part, in such harmony. So for peaceable purposes, I would suggest you begin right now with anything on this list. For those who are struggling, it may help greatly to begin with number 10. General wolf rules for life. 1. Eat. 2. Rest. 3. Rove in between. 4. Render loyalty. 5. Love the children. 6. Cavil in moonlight. 7. Tune your ears. 8. Attend to the bones. 9. Make love. 10. Howl often. Okay, so I think I'm going to be the one that starts, but hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Emma. Our very last Life School episode.
It's our last Life School episode for Women Who Run With the Wolves. So the first wolf rule is to eat. And so I wanted to tell you about something that had really helped me in the past with the subject of eating. So first and foremost, I know that this is such a loaded topic and a lot of us have a lot of triggers around food, around weight, around body image, that this can be a really, really tough topic. It's like a three-letter word, but it is not an easy word for a lot of us. But something that really helped me as far as eating and my relationship with food was actually Susan Hyatt's work called Bear. And she wrote a book called Bear, which is a 7-week program to transform your body, get more energy, feel amazing, and become the bravest, most unstoppable version of you. And the reason why this helped me so much was because, one, she is a very, very body positive person. So there is no body shaming at all in her work. And she's also not at all about learning control. And she actually, her whole work around body and food and movement is all about disrupting the diet industry completely. She's all about not being on a diet at all. So this is a way to learn how to love yourself, love your body, have an amazing relationship to your body without being on a diet and like completely disrupting the whole industry of diet culture. This was really transformative for me because it helped me to see like myself in a whole new way, but it also taught me how to approach things like food and eating and movement and all of that stuff in a way that was totally, totally based in love and self-love. And this was like just, I think for any of us, if you grow up believing the cultural story about body and food and that like your body needs to be smaller and eating less is like a good thing or something, you know, it's like completely disconnects you from your wild instinct, from everything we've learned in Women Who Run With the Wolves, which is allowing your own body and your own love for your body to be the leading expert in what is right for you. And which I think is something that Susan Hyatt really teaches. So I would really recommend that if you're looking to dig deeper into this wolf rule of eating. I think Bear and Susan Hyatt's work can be a good starting point for doing that and learning about eating in a way that is also very much connected to your intuition.
I absolutely love that perspective so much. There's just like, it feels like that program is like a 7-week wild woman practice. know? I mean, it's really cool. So thank you for sharing that with all of us. It sounds so cool.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so you are going to talk to us about rest and a time you transformed or had a transformative experience with resting.
Yeah, so rest is something that I have had this kind of weird relationship with. I am definitely someone who in the past has genuinely wished that I only needed to sleep like an hour a night because I always had some like major FOMO, like fear of missing out on all the things that life has to offer. It's not that I hate sleeping, actually, like I enjoy sleeping, but I just always wanted to be doing so much with my time and my day. And with reading this book and having this deeper understanding of just the importance of rest and rest as a wild woman practice, I've really shifted into realizing that actually to live the type of life that I really want to have, I need spaciousness in my life for one, and I need to be able to just not do anything in particular. Like I'm kind of on this like productivity cleanse in a way. Like I want to not always be so worried about being productive because I think that productivity is just like, it has become kind of a dirty word in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I really want to transform my relationship with that. So this book, I just have been feeling, you know, this big internal shift for myself around, you know, what rest can look like. And then recently I started taking a class called The Creativity Mindset with Martha Beck. And she talks about how one of the really incredible creativity hacks, you know, to really tap into our creativity is actually sleep. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course. We need to sleep. We need to rest to be able to tap into our creativity. And I have had this experience more than once, and I'm curious if you have too, Emma, where, you know, I've been, you know, really trying to like chew on a problem, trying to figure something out. And then I will go to sleep. And then the next morning, it's like, I've solved the problem in my sleep. So that's actually like a real thing. You know, there's all this really cool research around how sleep impacts our lives in so many different ways. So I did want to give two cool resources. One, there's just a really interesting article on time.com called How to Wake Up Your Creativity, talking all about the connection between the brain research around creativity and sleep. And then there's also a book called Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams by Matthew Walker. And that book really talks about how sleep can really affect, you know, different aspects of our physical and mental well-being. It looks at ways that, harnessing the power of sleep can really improve learning and mood and energy levels, regulate your hormones, prevent cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, slows effects of aging, increases longevity. I mean, it's like sleep is not a small thing, and just rest in general. The other thing that I just want to say as well is that, you know, aside from sleep, but just this idea of rest, is understanding, and this is also something I remember that was in one of Martha Beck's books, where she was recovering from some type of a surgery. And she was saying to her nurse how she was kind of, you know, crawling out of her skin, not being able to do anything. And the nurse asked her, you know, if dancing feels like resting, then dance. And that has really stuck with me, of like redefining what actually feels restful and rejuvenating for ourselves. And so for me, yes, you know, sometimes, you know, sitting down and watching a movie can be restful, but also it can be restful to have a day where I just am wandering the streets of an unfamiliar city, or I'm working in my garden, or I'm sitting down and just totally getting immersed in an art project. So rest can look a lot of different ways. And I would just invite you to redefine that for yourself, if maybe the traditional bubble bath is not in fact what makes you feel relaxed and rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. So true. I know for me, I have a really hard time with afternoon naps. Like if I nap, I tend to wake up feeling much worse, like groggier, crankier. Naps, when I take a nap in the afternoon, I tend to have to recover from taking a nap. But when I get really tired in the afternoons, I've noticed that if I just go outside and like sit down and be still, but I'm outside, that is much more helpful for me, that I can actually like stop and do nothing when I'm tired. But if I actually sleep, that really messes me up. So I like to think about that, that there are different ways to rest.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And there's no, like she says in that quote that you shared, which I really love, is there's not one prescribed way for any of us. So to anything that we're sharing, also again, reiterating, take what resonates, leave the rest, and explore, you know, what works for you. Really tune in to your own intuition on how these different concepts of the Wolf Rules land for you.
I think that's a really good lead in for the third one, the Rove in Between, which I think could mean a lot of things metaphorically. But for me right now today, I'm taking this as like the movement one. You know, when I think about a wolf roving, I see them just like moving. You know, they go on these long, long, long treks in their life. And for me, I think it's the same exact thing that you just said, that there is no one right way to move your body. That, you know, like when you look at an exercise routine that's like, if you don't do 10 squats and you don't do this and that, then like you're not moving in the right way. You're never going to have a body that you want to have. So movement is so much a part of like that diet industry culture that wants you to do certain things and to pay lots of money for it, even if it doesn't work for you. And something I've noticed with movement, and I would say again, my resource again would be Bear and Susan Hyatt, because she has this whole chapter in there on sweat. And this is exactly her point, is that there is a way to move that will work for you and your body. So it might be slow movement or like Pilates. It could be walking. It could be running. I'm not a runner, but I know there are lots of people who love to run. And it's all about just starting to tune in and notice, how do you feel after a particular movement? Like, and so for me, what I found is like, I actually have been loving Kundalini yoga, which I never expected to love because it's like hard and fast and powerful. But actually, if I do that in the morning, I feel great. And it's almost like I can feel my body being like, yes, thank you. I love this thing. I love it. And I think that's the thing with roving, right? If you think about a wolf, they're moving in a way that's like natural and right for them. And it's all about that. So like in the Bear book, Susan Hyatt would say to explore and to try all different ways to move. Like, and that is another way to rove and explore, is just to try all different things and to see which one makes you feel more alive and like happier and more connected to your body, and to kind of let that be it, right? That like moving in a way that's right for you is the thing that's right for your body.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love thinking so much about movement, especially because like my body moves very differently than it used to, you know, mm-hmm. and we all have that experience, right? You know, not everyone has spinal fusion, but a lot of people have, you know, different things like bodies changing, aging, injuries, things like that. And what is movement that feels good, and that it's not like, not all categories of movement are the same. So like you're saying with like, you love Kundalini yoga. I really love this slow alignment based, very powerful, lots of like thinking about engaging all your muscles and, mm-hmm. you know, type of movement, because that really fast vinyasa, like pose,
right.
actually like hurts my body and I feel frustrated at the end. But then when I found the type of yoga that really works for me, like I feel expansive and I feel amazing at the end, you know, and I've also been kind of, you know, sometimes like, you know, an invitation to maybe think outside the box. And this is a little, I'm going to maybe, because I am an obliger and I do well with accountability when I put it out into the world. Mm-hmm. I have always had a love of sort of like the circus arts. And I think they're super cool, but I've been really sort of intimidated to try some of them because I've been worried about some of my limitations. But recently I ended up being in this situation where I was at a reservoir in my town paddleboarding, and there was this woman who had one of those aerial hoops, which I think you often Ooh. See in like burlesque shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. She had paddled out to this tree that was submerged in water because the reservoir is really full. She'd hung the hoop off the tree over the water, and it was so beautiful. And she was doing all these different like movements like in the hoop. And I did gymnastics when I was a kid, and I've started getting into acro yoga with my husband. So it's like the partner yoga kind of where he's like flying me and stuff like that, which has been really expansive for me to just feel freedom in my body when I often feel so stiff because of my back. And I was like, I'm not trying to stare at you, but this is so beautiful. And she's like, do you want to try? And I was like, so afraid. Like, no, I can't do it. Like it was like feeling this like constriction. And my husband's like, go try it. So paddled out, and I freaking loved it. And I've been looking up classes for how to learn how to do more of this aerial hoop stuff. So like the type of movement, you might be surprised if there's something that's always true. Like caught your imagination. Maybe let this be your nudge, and I'm going to try to do it for myself too. Maybe I'll report back if I actually take a class. So anyway, just wanted to share that little story that I had recently.
I love that. I really love that. I think sometimes movement too, like I always had this thought about myself that I'm weak, that I'm just not athletic because I'm a weak person physically. And I think that came because of, like, I have celiac disease, but I didn't know until I was 28. And so I actually lived up until then with a lot of fatigue. Like, the celiac can make your muscles feel really, really heavy and slow and sluggish. And so I really had this story imprinted on myself that, like, I just am not athletic. And so for me, too, doing the Kundalini yoga, it's such an athletic kind of yoga that I'm like really shocked that I like it. So it's really nice to break through any boundaries you have about yourself that aren't actually true. Like, there are some things that are true about me, like I actually hate running. That's not going to happen. Like, that's a true thing in my life. But there are other kinds of movement that really speak to me that might be more athletic than like the story I've painted about myself in my life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's rewriting those narratives. And it's like, you know, like we talk about turning, like tuning back in with our bodies. I mean, it is physical, but this is just as important of like, what's the narrative around your body and how you move that actually makes you feel like contracted? Like when you say like, I'm a weak person, does that make you feel contracted? Versus when you say like, I hate running, do you feel kind of like free?
you know? Yeah.
The like, difference. Yay.
I don't ever have to run. Yes. Okay, let's move to the next one. So the next one is render loyalty, which I know you have something for us about that, Caitlin.
Yeah. So I think that render loyalty, you can look at this a lot of different ways. It can be render loyalty to yourself, to your community, to the people in your life. But what I feel like I've been on a personal journey with, you know, last many years, but especially this past year, as we've been in such weird times, is to find that loyalty to myself. And I've actually been reading Martha Beck's new book, The Way of Integrity. And I'm not all the way through it, but she talks so much around, you know, integrity as being like one thing, like to be fully integrated into ourselves and our own truth, even when like the truth is ugly or uncomfortable. So it kind of the same idea of like what gives you a sense of freedom versus what causes this contraction. And, you know, again, I know we've talked so much about Martha Beck, but she has woven these different principles of coming into integrity with yourself, aligning with Dante's Divine Comedy. And so Dante's Inferno. And so it's, you know, it's an interesting and funny and entertaining read while you're also doing this deep work. So it can be really a nice way to, you know, kind of dive into these things in a guided and also, you know, humorous way.
Right. Right. And I know, I think I took her when she initially sort of started the Way of Integrity. I think I took a class, like a group class with her on this, on she called it the Integrity Cleanse. And what I found so interesting about this, as far as render loyalty goes, is how much it does create loyalty within a community, because you end up, like, if you're coming from a place of truth all the time, like you become someone people can trust for telling the truth. And I feel like this is a very unique and wonderful thing to have. Like if you have people in your community that you know are like aligned to themselves, like for me, I love having friends like that, where I know that if I ask them if they're up for hanging out or if they could help me with something, if I can trust that they're going to tell me the truth, that is so relieving. Right? That like they know themselves and they know actually it's not a good night for them to do this. Then I'm like, oh, good. You know, thank goodness they are taking care of themselves. And it creates loyalty for sure in me.
Oh, yeah. And I think that seeing other people do that, and my husband, this sometimes annoys me, but I also actually admire it about him so much that if he knows his energy levels, he knows his boundaries. And if like, there's something, you know, we have plans that night and he's like, I'm not up for it. I'm not going. I mean, he doesn't say it exactly like that, but he's just like, I'm not up for it. I'm going to stay home tonight. And while I'm like, but you have to go, you know, like I get caught up in all this like stuff for myself, but actually he has really helped me to continue to check in with myself and like, am I really up for this? And I'm not. And it's actually okay to be honest with myself and others about what I need. And
I love that, because it makes me feel like, as a person who does invite people to do things, that I'm not putting an extra burden on them if they are going to tell me the truth back. So like, I'm not going to feel bad like I put someone in an awkward position unintentionally if I know that they're someone who is loyal to themselves. Right?
Exactly.
It's like such a relief of burden in a friendship.
It is. And I have to say, this is also a quality that you really have that I've also really admired and has been so cool in working on this project together, because I feel like you have given me permission by the way that you really honor your energy levels, your cycle. If you're not feeling up for recording, you tell me and you don't just like push through for the sake of pushing through, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's been really cool. So thank you for also being my teacher in that way.
You're welcome. I have a big smile. My love language is words of affirmation. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're the best. And I just absolutely adore and love you.
Oh, right back at you. Okay.
Number five. So I think you're going to talk about this one, which is love the children.
Yes. This is a very interesting one for me because when I was very young, I knew that I didn't want to have kids. Like when I was a teenager, I was kind of like, I have never once had the desire inside myself to become pregnant and birth a child, like that's never become like a parent and raise a child. Like I've never once had that desire. I think it's really interesting because for me growing up, I certainly was taught this message, definitely by my very patriarchal biological father, that in order to have a satisfying life as a woman, I must have children or be a teacher. Like there was like no other way for me to have a satisfying life, right? But I knew that that wasn't for me. And so when I look at this idea of like love the children, what I find really fascinating are like the other ways you can love a kid. Like I love being an auntie, and right now I live next door to like one of my best friends. She has a couple little kids, and it's really fun to get to love her kids as an auntie, right? Like that for me is like, oh, this is my zone when it comes to kids. But I think there are also other ways to love kids. Like, for example, Glennon Doyle's nonprofit Together Rising, they do so much for kids through their like distribution of the funds that they raise. Like when the pandemic was happening, they found ways to support like food for kids, right? In communities where kids no longer had school lunches. Like they found, you know, boots on the ground people who were providing lunches for kids. And so they donated a significant amount of money. And so for me, when I give to Together Rising, I feel like I am loving the children. They also have done a ton of work reuniting families on the border that people thought like those families would never get reunited. And they were like, no. And they like my money, I know, went towards reuniting families on the border. And so I know that like there are all these different, various, wonderful ways to love the children that also, again, will be right for you, right? So for me, it's like being an auntie is a way that I love the children, and giving to Together Rising is another way that I love the children. And so I think, like, I do like that this is a wolf rule, because creating a society for the young people who are going to be the older people, like creating that world for all of us is important. And I think we can each find a way to do it. What do you think about that, Caitlin?
I completely agree. And with this one, really, it's just like future generations. Like, what do I want to help change about the world so that it's better for the kids? Like, you know, the generation that's going to take this world over from us. And a lot of it has to do with like the environment. That's something that my husband and I talk a lot about. So we're looking into maybe getting an electric vehicle, putting solar on our house, like these things that we're like, what can we do to try to change our habits and how, you know, have less of an impact on the environment so that it is a better place for people. And there's so many different organizations that do things around environmental activism and things like that, which are super cool. There's actually a podcast that is super cool, and I can't remember off the top of my head the name of the hosts, but it's two hosts, and it's called How to Save the Planet. And it's awesome, and I really recommend it because it also gives some very actionable steps that you can take. So if you're interested in that, definitely check it out. And we'll have the link in the show notes.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. So number six, Caitlin, is Cavil in Moonlight, which I know I have kind of a big story and resource for that, but I'm curious first if you have anything that makes you think about caviling in Moonlight.
Well, I actually really, really love to go for walks at night in particular.
Really? I did not know that about you.
Yes. My husband and I probably do the majority of our walks at night. And one thing that I really love about it is when I walk around my neighborhood at night, it feels like a different place. Mm-hmm. Like there's something about how like details are sort of hidden that just allows my imagination to kind of go, and I can feel like a place is new and like there's possibility. And I also really love to, especially when there's a beautiful sky, you know, so if it's a full moon, or even when it's a new moon, my husband and I will also make a point to go out and walk at those times. And this also makes me think of, we have a fire pit in our backyard. And so we will also light a fire and put on music, and we will dance around our fire in our backyard. And yeah, it's just like so fun. And we're surrounded by all of our plants. And so even though we're right in the middle of our town, we very much feel like we're out in the woods. And this actually also reminds me of times when we've been camping and it'd be so cold, but the sky was so beautiful. And we would just like, just stick our little heads out of the tent and like zip it up and just look at the stars and try to stay warm. But just like loving, I love to sleep under the stars if I have the opportunity. If it's warm enough, there's just nothing like having them, you know, the sky as your ceiling for a night.
That is amazing. I love all these stories. I did not know that you literally cavil in moonlight. That's amazing. I love that. I don't really literally cavil in moonlight because I'm scared. I am scared of bears. I live in the woods, so I'm scared of the bears and
The scares are also scared of you. The bears are also scared of you.
Yes, this is true. But I'm like the kind, I also love the night sky. But what I do is like I go out onto my deck and I look up at the sky until I hear any noise, and then I run inside. Which is really silly because no animals are attacking me on my deck. That's not what's happening. So I do have a couple good memories, though, of like one time being in Yosemite and walking on a full moon night. And that was so pretty. And another time being at another national park, and there was this cool like night sky festival. And there was this gorgeous night, like the darkest night sky I've ever seen. So like the stars were so bright. And someone came and did like a planetarium talk and demonstration, but with the actual night sky. Because you could see every star. It was so cool. Of course, I don't mean literally every, but you could see so many stars. It was, and the what's it called, that August meteor shower that happens, that I forget the name of, that was happening. And so there were just like amazing shooting stars all night. So that was very cool. A couple times I was brave and did it.
So brave. It is. Yeah. I don't go by myself. Like I definitely like having the company for sure.
Yeah.
And I also know you have another really cool resource to share with everyone.
Yes. So if you are a witchy person like me, and even if you don't go out and cavil in the moonlight, because you're also like me, you're a little scared of noises in the dark, then I would highly recommend Lola Pickett's work. So she has a podcast called Moon and Manifest. And she also has like a paid community called Moon and Manifest, where it's all about learning the astrological phases of the moon and how they impact your life and how to use like the moon changes astrological signs about every 3 days, it changes signs really quickly. And so you can really start to notice, well, how do I feel during a Pisces moon? Or knowing, like for me, I've learned that during a Cancer moon, that's a time that I love to work. Like I like to schedule a work retreat during a Cancer moon. So I've actually started scheduling my life around the moon, which I was doing before I found Moon in Manifest. I realized that like I just wanted to do everything according to my natural energies, and learning how to do that with the moon cycle for me was the way. And so a lot of my work is scheduled like with the new moon and the full moon. And now with after learning from Lola, I tend to schedule things a lot on the actual astrological sign of the moon. It's very cool and very fun. So I am also cavilling with the moon, but just not literally in the moonlight.
I love it. It sounds so cool. And I'm really interested in learning more about it, because I know for myself, a pattern that I have found is that I dream like very vividly, like a couple days before, on, and then after the full moon. Like, mm-hmm. without a doubt, I won't remember my dreams like super clearly any other time. But during those like, you know, 3-4 days or so, I will have such vivid dreams. I feel like I've had a whole day that I've already lived every night when I wake up.
Yes.
So it'd be really cool to learn like the more nuanced in between phases.
It's very, very cool. I really like it. Oh, there's also another book called The Moon Book by someone named Sarah Faith with a last name I know I'm going to mispronounce, so I'm sorry. It's Sarah Faith Gottesdiener, maybe. But we'll put the link in the profile. And this is all about how to do lunar magic, like how to actually do like spells and interesting, beautiful, witchy things with each specific phase of the moon, which she breaks down into, I think, 8 different phases. So that's also a very good one.
And I feel like that perfectly leads into number 7, which is about tuning your ears. So do you want to share this one first?
Yeah. So I would say tuning your ears is probably my lifetime practice, which I really think of as that practice of listening in. I think of it like checking in and catching the waves of, you know, like what is happening in my life? How do I feel inside myself? This is something I like to do on a weekly basis, where I like to stop and just do anything where I check in and ask myself, like, what's coming down the pike? Where have I been? Who am I today? Where am I going? I just like to tune into what's happening inside me and in the world around me to really figure out where am I going to next. It's like a very important practice for me, and something I do for clients with my seasonal oracle card readings. This is a way to tune your ears on the solstices and the equinox to do this exactly this kind of check-in to say, okay, where am I going next? Let me gather some information that I need to know in order to figure out what's needed for the coming season. So I like that. I feel like tune your ears is that intuitive listening in the self, and also intuitive listening into outside yourself and setting your compass, you know, on a fairly regular basis.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think with this for sure is that it's definitely not easy to do. Like I sometimes struggle to slow down, to remember, to ask myself these questions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes actually having some guidance with that can be really cool.
Yeah.
And this past year, I've really been trying to tap into and create a consistent meditation practice, and having those guided meditations. And, you know, not necessarily being fully in charge of reminding myself to come back to my breath and bring my mind back if it's wandered off has been so, so helpful. And I always feel like I'm back into myself and have so much more clarity. And there's just so many cool apps out there, you know, so it's like finding stuff like that, resources that also are helping you tune in and know that if you struggle with it, that's normal. And that there's lots of things out there that can be helpful.
That's really true. Have you used Insight Timer? That's one I've started using recently.
No. And it sounds familiar. Maybe you've told me about it. Will you share a little bit more?
So Insight Timer, it's a free app. And I think anybody can upload guided meditation. So they have a lot of guided meditations. But of course, the community can rate them and star them. And there's like the most viewed ones and stuff like that. But you can go in and really find some good ones. I really like Sharon Salzberg. She has some really great basic mindfulness meditations that I've really liked. So that could be a good starting point there.
That's awesome. Two apps that I've really, really enjoyed are Headspace. Because I like how they break down a lot of the basics of meditation. And then there's also a couple of series that they've done on Netflix. So if you don't want to get the app right away, but check out kind of the style, you can do that. And then I've also loved the tapping solutions. I've also been learning a lot more about tapping, which is like acknowledging, you know, the negative beliefs that we have and like accepting them instead of like creating resistance. And then giving ourselves permission to relax, let go of those thoughts, and then choosing, you know, new thoughts and beliefs and doing tapping on the meridians and stuff like that. And I found that to be so helpful, especially in times of anxiety and grief and, you know, all the things that I've been going through and a lot of us have been experiencing the last, you know, year and a half plus.
Very cool. Thank you. And then, okay, so then there's attend to the bones. So do you have anything for us with that?
Yeah, I mean, so this does definitely make me think of movement as well, you know, making sure that there's, you know, movement. But to me, it's all about like coming back into kind of like alignment. And sometimes coming into alignment means starting with the foundation. So as, you know, a yoga teacher, a lot of times like the first thing that I'm teaching a student is what's the foundation, and meaning like, where do you put your body on the ground? You know, like where do your feet go? Where do your hands go? And so this just makes me think of like, not just movement though, as anything that's foundational, and therapy definitely comes up. So I've started going back to therapy this past year, and it's been so good because sometimes, you know, we have to kind of go back to making sure that our foundational wellness is in place so that we can continue to move forward in our lives in all these other ways. And it can, things that can happen in conjunction of when we're like leaping and doing all these really cool things, mm-hmm. but still it's like there's these under foundational things. And it's been so cool for me to kind of see, you know, these things I didn't think were related in my life that now I'm like, oh, here's the connection. Between, you know, this limiting belief that I have in this, you know, say like something in my business actually roots back to this thing that I experienced when I was a kid, or, you know, first, you know, my first job or whatever else like that. And so it's kind of like clearing out and re-solidifying my foundation in those areas so that I can continue, you know, moving forward in the ways that I want to.
Right. Yeah, me too. I love that. I love the idea of attend to the bones as movement, like your literal bones. Like we need to tend to these. And then, yeah, to these like structural things in our life, right? It could even be the bones of our culture, of the systems at large and what we need to tend to. And then like you're saying with like that amazing work of therapy, of helping us really get at like what's going on underneath, inside, what's at play that we can't see happening.
Yep, exactly.
Lovely.
Yeah. So, and then number 9 is make love.
Yeah. So as you all know from the sacred sexuality chapter, make love is not my favorite thing to talk about online because I'm New Englander and we're all, you know, Puritan roots. Another bone to tend to is like my literal Puritan ancestry. Something interesting for me about make love has been I've been reading these really amazing romance novels for the past couple years. by Alyssa Cole. So she has a series of romance novels called The Reluctant Royals. And these are the first romance novels I ever read in my life. I was definitely a snobby English major who did not understand that romance novels were also really good books. And when I read Reluctant Royals, I was just blown away because it was very progressive novel, beautifully written. And like the sex scenes were just rooted in like consensual sex and like female pleasure and like just all the wonderful things that happen when you have sex and when you make love. And I loved the actual romance story, the love of it. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing, amazing book. And it definitely helped me like change a lot of my perspective on making love and on like reading romance novels. And there's a podcast that I really love called Hot and Bothered by Vanessa Zoltan, where the first project they did were like 10 or so episodes where she actually like helped her friends write romance novels. And it was this whole exploration of why romance novels might be looked down upon because they are about female pleasure and how we can be like feminist and how romance novels are a part of that. And so it was very, very cool perspective changing podcast. Then they did a few other projects, but now they're doing a project called On Air, and Air is spelled E-Y-R-E. It's all about like this in-depth book study of Jane Eyre and really asking a question of, is Jane Eyre a book for today? Like, should it be like in the modern canon? Because there's a lot of problematic stuff in Jane Eyre. But it's also looking at like the romance, right? The romance story. So anyway, I feel that progressive romance novels and that podcast, Hot and Bothered, really broke through a lot of my New Englander, stodginess when it comes to like romance and making love.
I love that. I love that there's like been such a cool shift in the perspective for you. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many resources out there. I think since we've done that episode, it's definitely been a curiosity for me of like, mm-hmm. what is out there about sacred sexuality and how is actually connecting more with ourselves and female pleasure, not in all ways, really. It's not just sexual, but in all these different ways is actually a act of rebellion. And yes. So there's like, I mean, there's so many podcasts that talk about these different things. But there's a book again on my short list because I've heard about it from multiple different sources. And so sometimes it's like, all right, this is probably one I should be reading. And it's called Pussy, A Reclamation by Gina Thomas Hauer, and is really talking a lot about, you know, like how to connect with our feminine power as women. And it's really like, you know, she's like inviting women to like this revolution. It is an older book. So maybe people have heard of it, but it was a newer, has more newly come into my attention. So something to check out.
Okay. We're at the last wolf rule, which is I'm screaming. So that makes sense. It's called Howl Often. So do you want to talk to us about howling?
Oh, howling. Ah, man. It's like this makes me just think so much of my dog. So much of my dog. It was really, I mean, for those of you who listened to that episode, the tribute to that I did to my dog Elby that I lost. There's something about howling that is so deeply wild. Like just talking about it, my whole body has like this like pulsation running through it. And it's so much, and this is so connected to your work, but it really does feel like tapping into our wild and using our voices. That's really what it is. And, you know, it's not only necessarily using our voices, but using our unique expression in and how that looks for us. And so, you know, so much of what I do, and again, this is very connected to what you do, Emma, but it's really helping people to tap into their nature, their wild parts of themselves, who they are at their core. And this is something that I definitely do in my activation session where I'm helping people unlock their creative process. But so much of my work in especially my one-on-one and longer term containers with people is really helping them see who they are as people. What are they drawn to? What are the ways that they want to live their life that are outside the box? What are the ways that they've been, you know, told that they should be caged, you know, and, mm-hmm. and if they feel trapped by these limiting beliefs, how do we just like blow that out of the water, break that box and help them create a life that lets them, you know, howl into the world, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever that expression looks like for them.
Yeah. I love that because I think, and I like that she says too, for those who are struggling, it may help greatly to begin with number 10, right? And I think this is so true. Like begin with using your voice. In the book, Codependent No More by Melody Beattie, she talks about something where, you know, let's say this is like the first time you've ever said no to somebody. Or the first time you've ever stated your opinion. She talks about being really gentle with yourself. And even if you feel like you didn't do it well, or you could have been kinder, you know, maybe it just bursts out. But that is all good because she talks about how you kind of just need to make a beginning and you can get like better at using your voice as you go. But at the beginning, you kind of just need to do it. You just need to howl. And so even if you feel like you're being mean by saying no, sometimes you kind of need to do that thing just to get things going, right? Like, and so I like that, like Dr. Estes is kind of agreeing with that. Like if you're really struggling, begin with howling. And yeah, like you're saying, this is for sure what I do with the School of Wild Authenticity and with the Courageous Blogger Society is helping people to write, to actually find their authentic voice and to be themselves in the world, right? To hit publish on their own writing. And what I love the idea of howling as well is that howling is something you hear, right? It's not like a timid whisper. You know, it is something you do that can be heard. I don't know for how many miles around you can hear a wolf howl, but for sure, like in our house, we can hear the coyotes wherever they are. And I assume they're probably farther away from where we actually are. So I feel like it's making a loud noise with your voice that can be heard.
Yep. And it also, again, makes me think of Susan Hyatt, her whole thing about make a scene.
Yes.
You know, it's like make a scene, be loud, be like, be everything that they don't want you to be, kind of, you know, it's like kind of flying in the face of anyone who's trying to just tamp you down as a person in any way.
And create the awkward situation. I always feel like this, like when you're just in conversation with somebody who does something that's hurtful, then it's like, you know, I was trained to not create the awkward situation. Like that person did the hurtful thing, so you just be quiet so things won't be awkward. And I'm like, they already created the awkward situation. They already did it. They did the thing. And so right. I feel like why not lean into that?
You know? Totally. Yes.
Lean yes. into the awkward when it comes to howling.
For sure. Yes. I relate to that so much. I mean, I used to never, ever, ever stick up for myself. And now mm-hmm. it's like now the like in defense of my, like any sort of reaction is like there. It's like before you think about it, I'm like, no, I'm not okay with that. You know, it used to be something that was like, that was never going to like pass my lips unless I was like really pushed to the edge. And now it's just like, nope, no more. I've got boundaries. I'm over it. I'm not dealing with this kind of thing.
I know. Yeah,
you know, to the point too. That I'm like, oh. And you know what? There's some refining that can be done from time to time. And also, it feels good. It also feels good because it's not then this thing that just like lives inside of me. You know, it's like, I was like, oh yeah, like I have this ability within myself to set this boundary.
Yes. Yes. So we can howl often. Okay. Oh my God. Caitlin, we did it. We howled often. We did these things. We did a whole giant podcast where our voices could be heard by our amazing listeners.
It's wild in so many ways.
And okay, so, okay, everyone. So let's celebrate this. We would love to hear from you at our email, fullheartfreevoicepodcast@gmail.com, or in our Facebook group, or on our Instagram, which is fullheart_freevoice_podcast. And we would love to just hear from you all. Like, what did you love about the podcast? We're finishing this major project and we would love just to connect with all of you to hear about, you know, like, did you do it? Did you listen to the episodes? Did you read the book? And someone wrote in saying they didn't read the book, but they loved the podcast itself, which is so cool. So we would just love to celebrate with all of you and to hear from you about how this has impacted you. And then, of course, you know, if you're up for it and you would love to tell us what you loved about the podcast in our reviews, that would be amazing. That would be something you can do to howl about Full Heart Free Voice podcast in our reviews on whatever podcast player you use. And if you're stumbling because you just don't know how to leave a review, you know, you can also shoot me an email about that. And maybe I can put together a nice little like screenshot list or something for how to leave reviews, at least on Spotify and Apple Podcast. So if you would like that, just shoot us an email at fullheartfreevoicepodcast@gmail.com. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening and for being with us along this journey.
Thank you all so, so much. And one last quick reminder is if you want to sport some Full Heart Free Voice merch, if you want stickers put on all of the things, it is such a cool way for you to, you know, get a cool piece of merch, also support us. And we would just be super grateful if that's something that you're drawn to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the tote bag and it's really nice. It's a good tote bag. It fits like 4 or 5 books and a couple Oracle card decks all at once.
I love it.
Yes, it's a nice canvas bag. The printing came out really beautifully. And I think it's just such a unique, beautiful piece of art. It's Caitlin's art on a bag. So something to consider.
Well, I hope you all enjoy it. I know that some of you have been buying things, which is very exciting that it's out in the world. So thank you. And the link will be in the show notes if you want to go check that out.
Yep. And then we have a couple more bonus podcast episodes coming your way. And then Caitlin and I will be taking a break in September and October. And we'll be hopefully restarting in November, where we'll be reading a whole new book, which is yet to be decided and announced what the book will be. But that's what we'll be up to.
We just want to thank you all so much again for coming along on this amazing journey with us. We have grown and learned so much, and we hope that this has served you on your journey. We just really love and appreciate each and every one of you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really do. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
This episode was produced by Emma Veritas and Caitlin Bosshart. You can find out more about me, Emma, at my website, wildauthenticity.com, where you can also download your free workbook, 3 Habits to Calm Your Fear and Get You Writing.
And you can find out more about me, Caitlin, at my website, caitlinbosshart.com, and on Instagram at caitlin_bosshart. The nicest thing that you can do for us is to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player.
To stay connected with us, join the conversation in our Facebook group, follow along with us on Instagram, and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You'll find all the links in our show notes.
A special thank you to the amazing artists whose music is featured in our podcast.
Wally Ingram, Stevie Black, and Tom Freund. You heard portions of their tracks, Shine a Light and Who Do You Love, from their record Spa Day.
And thanks to Caitlin Bosshart for creating our beautiful cover art. And thank you to Kirit Basu for all his audio and technical help.
And a huge thank you to Emma Veritas for her editing magic. Last but not least, thank you to you, our listeners.
Go.
Everyone, we've lost it on our last episode. We don't know what we're doing anymore. We are all a little loopy at this point in the project. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.